My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
First padded practice of training camp followed yesterday's first open to the public practice. Ben Standing's been there since it started last week. He joins us right now, courtesy of our BetQL guest listener line. He's with us every Monday and Friday and sometimes in between as our Washington Commanders insider on this show. At Ben Standing on Twitter, read him on The Athletic, listen to his podcast, Standing Room Only. So I have not talked to you on the air since Wednesday of last week. So give everybody kind of a summary of what the first 5 days of camps included in terms of what would your headlines be.
Well, first of all, great to hear your voice. Thanks for having me back. So it's interesting. Like, obviously, Jaden Daniels, you know, getting a chance to see him, you know, at post mini camp, getting him to see, you know, where he's at with his game, and you know, we all know the importance of what he represents, and of course, just seeing other guys on the field, you know, there's the same kind of vibe. I think the thing though is that we've all talked about this as a media corps. It's been like a highly uneventful camp so far. Like, some of that's in a good way. Like, there's been really no injuries, there's been no drama, you know, none of that. But on the other hand, it hasn't been particularly, like, you know, I'm sure the coaches would say they're getting a lot of good work, and I'm not arguing that, but it hasn't been like overly dynamic. I couldn't sit here and tell you who's been the MVP of camp after 5 days, because I don't know that anybody has had like such a dramatic showing one way or the other. A couple individual players here and there, of course, but it's been a quiet camp, and I'm sure this is to a degree what Dan Quinn and Adam Peters want. You know, no drama, no fuss, just everybody working on their craft, and that's about it. But you know, it's hard to sit here and, like I said, say, boy, this player has been absolutely crushing it. You know, today, as you said, today was the first padded practice, and with that, you know, obviously it raises the intensity. You know, they were able to, you know, incorporate the run game for real this time, not just sort of having a, you know, a passive handoff to somebody. Like, they were running their backs, including Austin Eckler, like, you know, right up the middle, and you saw group tackling and all those kinds of things. But like, the one part of the typically a padded practice that we have watched in the past is they'll have the offensive and defensive linemen end up going in one-on-one, and that really is a highlight of these kinds of practices. And today they didn't do that. Obviously, it's a new coaching staff, so we're learning what it is that they do. So, yeah, I mean, look, again, there's been no issues. There's been no commotion. I'm sure guys are getting what the necessary work in, and a few have maybe stood out here or there, but it's been shockingly quiet. I read my colleagues at The Athletic when they're reporting around the weekend. We don't have anything along those lines. Again, some of it's good. Some of it's like, all right, you know, we could maybe use a little more juice in camp. But, you know, it's hard to say that anything is a negative. It just hasn't been overly exciting from the outside perspective.
Yeah, and even if it were exciting, what would it really mean unless it was a big contract signing for a quarterback or for another player, which is some of the biggest news that comes out this time of year anyway. I wanted to ask you about yesterday, 3,000 estimated fans. What was that atmosphere like compared to, you know, some of the years that were memorable, you know, at training camp, first day of fan appreciation, or whatever it was called yesterday?
Sure. Well, I think, you know, compare it to last year, right? I mean, because last year, Josh Harris purchased the team the day before rookies showed up for camp. So when the fans eventually came out, it felt like a party because, I mean, Josh Harris right. was a freaking rock star, you know, walking around. He actually has not been around here so far, but, you know, like he was a rock star, you know, everything was new and everybody was so excited. It hasn't felt that way this time. I mean, obviously, you know, kids are here and, you know, they're just thrilled to see these players, especially Jaden Daniels and Terry McLaurin and a couple other obvious names. But yeah, it hasn't felt like a raucous time. They, you know, and again, they have to do with kind of what I was just suggesting a minute ago. Like even today, like there was one play where Sam Hartman had he got flushed out of the pocket, rolled right and threw a perfect dart to Jamison Crowder on the sidelines. And it was a really nice play. I would say it was probably the best pass or the best offensive play of the day. But it wasn't like, you know, NFL Films didn't, you know, it isn't sad they missed it. So I don't know that the fans had a ton. I don't know that fans had a ton to react to other than just simply, wow, this is really cool to see all these guys out there. It was efficient. It just, you know, so I think, this, you know, but it wasn't there. Thrilling in that regard, but yeah, look, obviously it's exciting for these fans to get here. A lot of them show up very early in the morning to get inside, and yeah, you know, I mean, I see, you know, parents with their kids, and obviously that's a huge deal for them. So, you know, they're excited, they're yelling for the players, can get your autograph, all that kind of stuff. But you know, it hasn't been like a party or a raucous atmosphere compared to last year.
Tell me about the quarterback reps between Mariota and Jaden Daniels and the ones whenever it's been sort of defined as the ones are out there saying 11 on 11.
Yeah, well, so there's two ways to look at this. On the one hand, it's like which quarterback is going first, right? Mariota went first the majority of pretty much went first all the time last week, and then they came back. They rested Saturday, came back Sunday and today. And in the last 2 days, Daniels has gotten in there more with the ones. Mariota still some, but Daniels some more. But that said, when I say the ones, it isn't the starting lineup that you're going to assume that's going to be out there against Tampa Bay. They are still mixing and matching all over the place. It's funny because Dan Quinn has talked about something that Ron Rivera talked about often, position flexibility, but he doesn't use that term. The reality is these guys are using position flexibility much more, say, on the offensive line than the last group did. Like, they are, like, the first team today had, like, backup Michael Dieter playing left guard, and Brandon Coleman, the third-round pick, was at one of the tackle spots a fair amount. So it's not like they're using straight up, 11. So even if you're with the second unit or you're taking the second QB reps, you still may have some starters out there. So they are really trying to see what they have with everybody everywhere. And, you know, there was never a knock on the position flex. It's just you don't want to lean into it. You want that to be the secondary reason you're taking somebody, not the primary. And it felt like that was the issue before. Here, they seem to take the players that they want, then try to figure out what it is that they can do extra. And they've just leaned into that a lot more. I don't know how much of that is to avoid people like me saying, oh, so-and-so lined up with the ones, versus just, hey, we want to try different people in different spots, next in different lineups and whatever to get a feel for what's happening. So I think that's important to know when it talks to the quarterback. But in terms of Daniels v. Mariota, certainly Daniels is going to, you know, starting to get more work with as the first quarterback to go. And I would imagine that's only going to continue as we move forward.
Yeah. You know, Quinn said something this morning about, we've got a lot of guards that can play center and a lot of centers who can play guard. And he didn't use the Ron Rivera position flex description, but that is what he was describing. So you think that Jaden Daniels is going to be the starter on opening day against Tampa Bay, correct?
100%, yes.
Okay. I believe that to be the case, you know, 99.99%, leaving out, you know, 0.00001% for an injury, a knock on wood when I say it. But if he's healthy, he's going to be the starter. So I'm just curious as to why he wouldn't take every single, and I know what you've described, and that's fair. Maybe the reps he's taking are as much sort of first-team reps, even if he's going second, as the reps Mariota's taking. But why wouldn't he take as many reps as possible? I'm not here telling you that I think the coaches aren't doing it the right way. I would never presume on something like this. I'm sure there is a method to this, but have they explained it?
You know, obviously, you know, sort of the easy answer is to say, hey, look, you got to get, even if it's your backup, you got to get that guy some work with your first unit because who knows, right? So there's that. And like I said, the receivers are kind of bouncing around all over the place too. I mean, I think Terry is typically working with the ones. I would probably say the biggest, not issue, but like Tyler Biadasz is pretty much working with that first group every time at center, and he's going to be the center. So you would think logically you want to continue that development, that chemistry between the quarterback and the center. That seems to be a bigger one. But beyond that, at the moment at least, I don't think it matters a ton. I'm not saying what you're saying is wrong, or I would, you know, I think it's fair to ask that kind of a question. But, you know, Dan Quinn said something to us the other day that I thought was notable. Needless to say, when he comes out every single day, we're asking something about Jaden Daniels, if not multiple questions about Jaden Daniels. And he said that, you know, you guys, we talk way more about Jaden here in the media room than we do inside the building. Inside the building, of course, it's important, but it's one of, you know, all these positions. You know, we have 22 starters on both sides of the ball, and it doesn't seem like they're treating it's not revolving completely around the quarterback. So what they're doing at one spot, they're doing at all the spots, right? They're having guys play here, there, and everywhere. So it seems like it's for those reasons, as opposed to, you know, any notion of a quarterback battle or those types of deals. So that's the way it feels right now. And look, I would say this, that while I would be beyond stunned if he isn't the starter, you know, he hasn't been crushing it in so far. He's had some good plays. Most of the best throws in camp have been from him, but you know, a ball, you know, contrary to what we heard a few weeks ago, I've seen the balls hit the ground. And you know, the start of yesterday, the first two passes, one was seems like a big miscommunication between him and the receiver, and the ball was way off, and then the next throw was overthrown, and then he came back with three consecutive completions underneath, and then he moved further down the field and hit Bryson Tremaine and Terry McLaurin with some longer gain. So you know, he seems like everybody's pretty happy with where he is at, but he hasn't, like, so independent of the draft status and all that. It's not like he's, like, clearly dominating. He has definitely been better than Mariota, but it's not like he's crushing it. But, okay, that's the thing. I think they're just working him in just like they're doing it with all the other positions, which to some degree I think is noble. Like, you don't want to put the quarterback above everybody else, even if we all know that that's kind of the case.
Is there a player or maybe two that you didn't expect to see in some of the early portions of 11-on-11 as an example that's been in there?
Well, you know, the tackle situation is interesting, right? So the last 2 days, not today, but the last 2 days, Andrew Wiley missed a decent chunk of both practices. He didn't. He did some individual drills, but he didn't do any team drills yesterday. And he told us he's dealing with some tightness, which is, again, about the biggest of the injuries they've had to worry about so far. But he was back out there today. And, you know, maybe I missed a rep somewhere, but he, for the most part, when they were in 11, was working not with the first team. And Brandon Coleman, the third-round pick, was out there either playing left tackle with Cornelius Lucas at right tackle or maybe getting into right tackle reps. So, context of they're moving guys around, it's not really that surprising, but what it represents, you know, we've said all along, the tackle situation is very much up in the air. We've primarily focused on the left tackle because the last year starter isn't here, whereas Andrew Wiley started last year. But I think if Coleman could develop, and again, I think this is just about them getting a feel for what they can do more than saying, boy, this guy is is crushing. I think he's doing fine. But, you know, that one is, I think, the least notable that he is out there in those spots. Beyond that, you know, the defense feels like it's been a little more straightforward in terms of the lineups. There's a lot of guys, particularly in the secondary and the defensive line, that they've got to work through because the depth, there'll be some interesting battles there. But I think for the most part, it's been the groups that you would imagine. They're not like sort of moving Frankie Louvu and Bobby Wagner and the two tackles beyond, you know, to the second team. So that one's been a little more straightforward. But, you know, I think the offensive line is where it's been interesting to that regard.
Talking to Ben Standig, you just touched on kind of my next question, and that was corner. Like, has anything surprised you there in terms of when they're playing and with whom they're playing? I mean, we played the answer from Quinn earlier about St. Juice and Forbes, and he threw in Mike Davis. Is that basically what you've seen in terms of, you know, first team, second team defense, a lot of the those three in particular on the outside?
Yeah, I think those three on the outside with Sandra still, you know, somewhere primarily in the slot. I think those four, both in terms of making the roster and the usage, you know, I think you feel pretty safe about that, which isn't to say that like they're lighting it up. But again, like, as I said before, with the quarterback play, it's not like it's been like horrendous. It's just there hasn't been a ton of plays where I would go, just got a shot to make a play. But that said, I do think what's going to be interesting is the depth at both corner and safety. When I did a 53 player projection earlier in the month, and you know, way too early and all that, I had 12 defensive backs making the roster, and that's more than normal, I would say. But, you know, it just felt like there's a lot of options. I didn't even include guys like a Tyler Owens, who's an undrafted free agent. He had an interception yesterday, and he's gotten some buzz with his ability. You know, maybe he doesn't make the 53, but somebody that you, you know, keep an eye on, maybe as a guy they definitely want to keep on the practice squad. And then another guy, Kai Blue Kelly, who they picked up off waivers last year during the season, and I think a few teams put in claims on him. He's had some good plays as well, and I wasn't even including either one of those guys in my thoughts too much about making the team. So I think they really have some interesting decisions down the line. Again, I think there's some questions about the starters, particularly at corner, how effective they will be. But you know, there's definitely some roster battles that are going to be fun to watch. And I do think the secondary is going to have a ton of guys that, you know, we'll all be talking about in the coming weeks that, you know, have a real shot to make the roster, even if there are just so many guys that maybe they're going to get beat out just by, you know, pure amount of depth ahead of them.
Back to offense. Anything that stands out in terms of, you know, the formations they're in, the type of plays that they run with Daniels and Mariota? Because this to me is the most intriguing thing, is to I can't wait to see what Kingsbury's offense looks like, and I'm wondering if there are any clues.
Yeah, we can't really talk too much about formations and scheme, which isn't to say that I could give you chapter and verse of exactly what they're going to do. You know, in talking to some people on the sidelines who've played the game, you know, they're still sorting it out as well. You know, there are times where there's, you know, three and four receivers, and there's other times where there's, you know, more tight ends, and it's kind of all over the place. I will say that today, you know, they were doing some low red zone work, and some of the passing plays were pretty creative, where you would get a guy. There was one play where Jamison Crowder found himself wide open in the back of the end zone. Another one where Austin Eckler was running, I guess, a sort of like a man beater out of the backfield, and you know, it's one of those plays where you're like, the quarterback drops back, lets the rush come to him, and then the running back slips out and he was wide open. So, you know, typically we're always saying the defense is ahead of the offense at this time of year, and maybe that's true broadly, but I thought that the offense had some really good looks in the you know, low red zone today. You know, but beyond that, you know, it's still early in the process. They really are not showing much at all. You know, look, the reality is with we as in the media are not allowed to take videos after a certain point when they start doing it. That is not, that rule does not apply to the fans. And if their fans are going to start taking videos, which they do, of 7-on-7, 11-on-11, you don't want, you know, good stuff getting out there. So I, especially with the fans, I don't think we're going to see a ton that's going to give away the plan. And, you know, hopefully with those, whether it's the joint practices or the preseason games, we'll get a better feel. But, you know, it's all, they're doing so many different sets and sessions, and like they're really kind of all over the place, whether it's short yardage or whatnot. I will say today, one thing that was noticeable was that they did like some legit run plays, you know, where, you know, they had Austin Ekeler, I was noticing in particular, where he was like, you know, running up the middle, and it was really a swarming defense. That's really what they've talked about so much, is everybody running to the ball and getting the, you know, the ball carry, and that seemed to be the case. I think Eckler's actually looked pretty good as well so far in camp, but you know, they were really seem today to be focusing on running the ball into traffic. And again, with pads, you want to probably see what the line is doing, but also, you know, give the running backs a chance to feel like what it's like to get hit again. They haven't been hit for months. None of them have. None of the players have. So that was something that stood out today.
Talking to Ben Standig, he is out in Ashburn following another training camp practice. Today's practice, the first one in pads. Are you able to say anything about the kickoff returners and punt returners? He talked about it today, but he didn't name any of the players that might be deep, even though he said, we pretty much know where we're going on punt returns.
Yeah, so look, I mean, the conventional answer would be to say Jamison Crowder, right? Did it last year.
On punts.
He's a guy on punts, right? He's a you know, solid player, great locker room guy, all that stuff. My only wonder with that is that, you know, with Crowder, you know, there's no upside there, but either as a receiver or as a returner. His numbers ultimately last year were pretty much similar to Dax Milne's from the previous year, and everybody wanted Dax Milne, you know, gone immediately. And as a receiver, you know, I don't know that he's going to get in the lineup. So the question is, does it make sense to keep him as a sixth receiver, or are you better off, you know, going somewhere else? The problem is, where else would you go? The guy who stands out to me is Sanderstel. He is, you know, he's a former receiver in college. Whenever he gets the ball, he is good. I mean, he's pretty electric when you see him out there. Now, again, I asked Dan Quinn yesterday, are you the type of coach who, you know, older fans of this team will know, you know, Darryl Green, you know, could have been one of the best punt returners ever in the league, but they very rarely used him until they had to in a big spot because they didn't want to risk it. So, you know, Quinn, you know, like with a lot of his answers, didn't give a straightforward one about are you willing to use starters in that kind of a role? Sounds like he's open to it, depending on the circumstance. But, you know, I think Sandersville, if it's not going to be Crowder, Sandersville feels to me like he would be my guy. I mean, I don't see Emmanuel Forbes doing it, even though he's been getting punts. I don't see Jahan Dotson doing it, even though he's been practicing as well, and some other guys. So I think Sandersville is somebody to keep an eye on, just as a way, you know, as a weapon to try to get the ball in his hands here, there, and everywhere. On kick returns, they are still, you know, sorting out how are they going to handle the new rules. What makes sense for them? You know, how do they think they can beat what they perceive is going to be the way that teams are going to handle that? And, you know, we've talked about this before here, but like the running backs, this feels like more of a running back role now than say, you know, up until last year, where it could be a smaller, squirtier type of player who can, you know, get a full head of steam and break through. Here, there's going to be a lot more traffic, so the running backs, I think, make more sense. And Ekeler, he's been back there. I still have a hard time believing that they would go with him or Brian Robinson, but, you know, this is, maybe it is a way to get Ekeler the ball more, and if Robinson's going to be the pure lead. I still have been surprised we have not seen Chris Rodriguez back there at all. I probably made him my favorite to be that guy for the reasons I just said about, you know, he's got that sort of Brian Mitchell body. You know, he's got, I'm not comparing him to the greatest returner ever, but I just mean, you know, he's got sort of a squat body, but he's got some good speed, but he's been, you know, kind of quiet in camp and they have not used him. So, again, still a work in progress, but, yeah, Sanders still is somewhere, I think, has a good chance to be involved in the returning game unless they're just like, hey, we can't risk him because we see him having a bigger role in the secondary.
All right. This is an excellent summary that you're providing for us about the last several days in specific areas in particular. I'll end with this one. Does the kicker, Ahmed, have a chance to be the kicker? Like, how has he looked? I know nothing about him.
He had the first couple days, he's made some from distance, but he also had some misses, had a couple doinks off the goalpost. I'd be stunned, I guess, just if he's the guy, which, again, we have to see what else is out there. I asked Quinn the other day, it's a little surprising you didn't bring in any other kind of competition now, but okay, I think part of it is, how much of it is you're waiting to see what happens in these other camps where some teams have two or three kickers, including some familiar names, right? Joey Sly in New England is one we've mentioned before. He's one of multiple kickers up there. So if they're going to play the waiting game there, they're going to have to wait for a few more weeks. I think the wonder is, will they bring anybody else in before the first preseason game? Because that is a scenario where the kicker will really, it's going to be a pretty real scenario of whether it's the kickoffs themselves or actually making the field goal. So I don't think he's doing anything that suggests he's the guy. Maybe he's part of a competition ultimately, but I would imagine they eventually bring in somebody else, if not to compete, either to compete or more likely to sort of be the guy, especially if it's a veteran of sort of that Joey Sly kind of a level. But again, the kickoff rules themselves change the dynamic a bit. It isn't just saying, hey, this guy's got a strong leg. Well, you also have to be able to get the ball, right, depending on how they want to do it. You have to get the ball in, between the 20 and the goal line, yada, yada, yada. So that's a whole other aspect of this. But, yeah, I would imagine he won't be the kicker. Week one would be my guess.
All right. Great job. Appreciate it.
Always, man. I'm going to go find the air conditioning. See ya.
Go do that. Ben Standing, everybody, live from the park following training camp practice today, a practice in the pads at Ben Standing on X. A former NFL GM thinks Washington could be one of the surprises of the upcoming season. More on that next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
First padded practice of training camp followed yesterday's first open to the public practice. Ben Standing's been there since it started last week. He joins us right now, courtesy of our BetQL guest listener line. He's with us every Monday and Friday and sometimes in between as our Washington Commanders insider on this show. At Ben Standing on Twitter, read him on The Athletic, listen to his podcast, Standing Room Only. So I have not talked to you on the air since Wednesday of last week. So give everybody kind of a summary of what the first 5 days of camps included in terms of what would your headlines be.
Well, first of all, great to hear your voice. Thanks for having me back. So it's interesting, like obviously Jaden Daniels, getting a chance to see him, at post minicamp, getting him to see, where he's at with his game. And we all know the importance of what he represents. And of course, just seeing other guys on the field, there's the same kind of vibe. I think the thing though is that we've all talked about this as a media corps. It's been like a highly uneventful camp so far. Like, some of that's in a good way. Like, there's been really no injuries. There's been no drama, none of that. But on the other hand, it hasn't been particularly like, I'm sure the coaches would say they're getting a lot of good work, and I'm not arguing that, but it hasn't been like overly dynamic. I couldn't sit here and tell you who's been the MVP of camp after 5 days, because I don't know that anybody has had like such a dramatic showing one way or the other. A couple individual players here and there, of course, but it's been a quiet camp, and I'm sure this is to a degree what Dan Quinn and Adam Peters want. No drama, no fuss, just everybody working on their craft, and that's about it. But it's hard to sit here and, like I said, say, boy, this player has been absolutely crushing it. Today, as you said, today was the first padded practice, and with that, obviously it raises the intensity. They were able to, incorporate the run game for real this time, not just sort of having a passive handoff to somebody. Like, they were running their backs, including Austin Ekeler, right up the middle, and you saw group tackling and all those kinds of things. But like, the one part of the typically a padded practice that we have watched in the past is they'll have the offensive and defensive linemen end up going in one-on-one, and that really is a highlight of these kinds of practices. And today they didn't do that. Obviously, it's a new coaching staff, so we're learning what it is that they do. So, there's been no issues. There's been no commotion. I'm sure guys are getting what the necessary work in, and a few have maybe stood out here and there. But it's been shockingly quiet. I read my colleagues at The Athletic what they're reporting around the weekend. We don't have anything along those lines. Again, some of it's good, some of it's like, all right, we could maybe use a little more juice in camp. But, it's hard to say that anything is a negative. It just hasn't been overly exciting from the outside perspective.
Yeah, and even if it were exciting, what would it really mean unless it was a big contract signing for a quarterback or for another player, which is some of the biggest news that comes out this time of year anyway. I wanted to ask you about yesterday, 3,000 estimated fans. What was that atmosphere like compared to, some of the years that were memorable, at training camp, first day of fan appreciation, or whatever it was called yesterday?
Sure. Well, I think, compare it to last year, right? I mean, because last year, Josh Harris purchased the team the day before rookies showed up for camp. So when the fans eventually came out, it felt like a party because, Josh Harris was a freaking rock star, walking around. He actually had not been around here so far, but, he was a rock star. Everything was new and everybody was so excited. It hasn't felt that way this time. I mean, obviously, kids are here and, they're just thrilled to see these players, especially Jaden Daniels and Terry McLaurin and a couple other obvious names. It hasn't felt like a raucous time. They, and again, they have to do with kind of what I was just suggesting a minute ago. Like even today, there was one play where Sam Hartman had he got flushed out of the pocket, rolled right and threw a perfect dart to Jamison Crowder on the sidelines. And it was a really nice play. I would say it was probably the best pass or the best offensive play of the day, but it wasn't like, NFL films didn't, it isn't sad they missed it. So I don't know that the fans had a ton. I don't know that fans had a ton to react to other than just simply, wow, this is really cool to see all these guys out there. It was efficient. It just, so I think, but it wasn't it. Thrilling in that regard. But yeah, look, obviously it's exciting for these fans to get here. A lot of them show up very early in the morning to get inside, and I see parents with their kids, and obviously that's a huge deal for them. So they're excited, they're yelling for the players, can we get your autograph, all that kind of stuff. But it hasn't been like a party or a raucous atmosphere compared to last year.
Tell me about the quarterback reps between Mariota and Jaden Daniels and the ones whenever it's been sort of defined as the ones are out there saying 11 on 11.
Yeah, so there's two ways to look at this. On the one hand, it's like which quarterback is going first, right? Mariota went first the majority of pretty much went first all the time last week. And then they came back, they rested Saturday, came back Sunday and today. And in the last 2 days, Daniels has gotten in there more with the ones. Mariota still some, but Daniels some more. But that said, when I say the ones, it isn't the starting lineup that you're going to assume that's going to be out there against Tampa Bay. They are still mixing and matching all over the place. It's funny because Dan Quinn has talked about something that Ron Rivera talked about often, position flexibility, but he doesn't use that term. But the reality is these guys are using position flexibility much more, say, on the offensive line than the last group did. Like, they are, like, the first team today had, like, backup Michael Dieter playing left guard, and Brandon Coleman, the third round pick, was at one of the tackle spots a fair amount. So it's not like they're using straight up 11. So even if you're with the second unit or you're taking the second QB reps, you still may have some starters out there. So they are really trying to see what they have with everybody everywhere. And, there was never a knock on the position flex. It's just you don't want to lean into it. You want that to be the secondary reason you're taking somebody, not the primary. And it felt like that was the issue before. Here, they seem to take the players that they want and try to figure out what it is that they can do extra. And they've just leaned into that a lot more. I don't know how much of that is to avoid people like me saying, oh, so-and-so lined up with the ones, versus just, hey, we want to try different people in different spots, in different lineups and whatever to get a feel for what's happening. So I think that's important to know when it talks to the quarterback. But in terms of Daniels v. Mariota, certainly Daniels is going to, starting to get more work with as the first quarterback to go. And I would imagine that's only going to continue as we move forward.
Yeah, Quinn said something this morning about we've got a lot of guards that can play center and a lot of centers who can play guard, and he didn't use the Ron Rivera position flex description, but that is what he was describing. So you think that Jaden Daniels is going to be the starter on opening day against Tampa Bay, correct?
100%, yes.
Okay, I believe that to be the case, 99.99%, leaving out, 0.00001% for an injury, a knock on wood when I say it. But if he's healthy, he's going to be the starter. So I'm just curious as to why he wouldn't take every single, and I know what you've described, and that's fair. Maybe the reps he's taking are as much sort of first-team reps, even if he's going second, as the reps Mariota's taking. But why wouldn't he take as many reps as possible? I'm not here telling you that I think the coaches aren't doing it the right way. I would never presume on something like this. I'm sure there is a method to this, but have they explained it?
Obviously, sort of the easy answer is to say, hey, look, you got to get, even if it's your backup, you got to get that guy some work with your first unit because who knows, right? So there's that. And like I said, the receivers are kind of bouncing around all over the place too. I mean, I think Terry is typically working with the ones. I would probably say the biggest not issue, but like Tyler Biadasz is pretty much working with that first group every time at center, and he's going to be the center. So you would think logically you want to continue that development, that chemistry between the quarterback and the center. That seems to be a bigger one. But beyond that, at the moment at least, I don't think it matters a ton. I'm not saying what you're saying is wrong, or I would, I think it's fair to ask that kind of a question. But, Dan Quinn said something to us the other day that I thought was notable. Needless to say, when he comes out every single day, we're asking something about Jaden Daniels, if not multiple questions about Jaden right. Daniels. And he said that, we talk way more about Jaden here in the media room than we do inside the building. Inside right. the building, of course, it's important, but it's one of, all these positions. We have 22 starters on both sides of the ball, and it doesn't seem like they're treating it's not revolving completely around the quarterback. So what they're doing at one spot, they're doing at all the spots, right? They're having guys play here, there, and everywhere. So it seems like it's for those reasons, as opposed to, any notion of a quarterback battle or those types of deals. So that's the way it feels right now. And look, I would say this, that while I, again, I, would be beyond stunned if he isn't the starter. You know, he hasn't been crushing it in so far. He's had some good plays. Most of the best throws in camp have been from him, but you know, a ball, you know, contrary to what we heard a few weeks ago, five seams of balls hit the ground. And you know, the start of yesterday, the first two passes, one was seemed like a big miscommunication between him and the receiver, and the ball was way off, and then the next throw was overthrown, and then he came back with three consecutive completions underneath, and then he moved further down the field and hit Bryson Tremaine and Terry McLaurin with some longer gains. So you know, he seems like everybody's pretty happy with where he is at, but he hasn't, like, so independent of the draft status and all that. It's not like he's, like, clearly dominating. I just, he has definitely been better than Mariota, but it's not like he's crushing it. But okay, that's the thing. I think they're just working him in just like they're doing it with all the other positions, which to some degree I think is noble. Like, you don't want to put the quarterback above everybody else, even if we all know that that's kind of the case.
Is there a player or maybe two that you didn't expect to see in some of the early portions of 11 on 11 as an example that's been in there?
Well, you know, the tackle situation is interesting, right? So the last 2 days, not today, but the last 2 days, Andrew Wiley missed a decent chunk of both practices. He didn't. He did some individual drills, but he didn't do any team drills yesterday. And he told us he's dealing with some tightness, which is, again, about the biggest of the injuries they've had to worry about so far. But he was back out there today. And, you know, it's, maybe I missed a rep somewhere. But he, for the most part, when they were in 11s, was working not with the first team. And Brandon Coleman, the third-round pick, was out there either playing left tackle with Cornelius Lucas at right tackle or maybe getting into some right tackle reps. So, context of they're moving guys around, it's not really that surprising, but what it represents, you know, we've said all along the tackle situation is very much up in the air. We've primarily focused on the left tackle because the last year starter isn't here, whereas Andrew Wiley started last year. But I think if Coleman could develop, and again, I think this is just about them getting a feel for what they can do more than saying, boy, this guy is crushing. I think he's doing fine, but you know, that one is, I think, the least notable that he is out there in those spots. Beyond that, you know, the defense feels like it's been a little more straightforward in terms of the lineups. There's a lot of guys that, particularly in the secondary and the defensive line, that they've got to work through because the depth. There'll be some interesting battles there, but I think for the most part, it's been the groups that you would imagine that, you know, they're not like sort of moving Frankie Louvu and Bobby Wagner and the two tackles beyond, you know, to the second team. So that one's been a little more straightforward, but you know, I think the offensive line is where it's been interesting to that regard.
Talking to Ben Standig, you just touched on kind of my next question, and that was corner. Like, has anything surprised you there in terms of when they're playing and with whom they're playing? I mean, we played the answer from Quinn earlier about St. Juice and Forbes, and he threw in Mike Davis. Is that basically what you've seen in terms of, you know, first team, second team defense, a lot of the those three in particular on the outside?
Yeah, I think those three on the outside with Sandra still, you know, somewhere primarily in the slot. I think those four, both in terms of making the roster and the usage, you know, I think you feel pretty safe about that, which isn't to say that like they're lighting it up. But again, like, as I said before, with the quarterback play, it's not like it's been like horrendous. It's just there hasn't been a ton of plays where I would go, just got a shot to make a play. But that said, I do think what's going to be interesting is the depth at both corner and safety. When I did a 53 player projection earlier in the month, and you know, way too early and all that, I had 12 defensive backs making the roster, and that's more than normal, I would say. But, you know, it just felt like there's a lot of options. I didn't even include guys like a Tyler Owens, who's an undrafted free agent. He had an interception yesterday, and he's gotten some buzz with his ability. You know, maybe he doesn't make the 53, but somebody to, you know, keep an eye on, maybe as a guy they definitely want to keep on the practice squad. And then another guy, Kai Blue Kelly, who they picked up off waivers last year during the season, and I think a few teams put in claims on him. he's had some good plays as well. And I wasn't even including either one of those guys in my thoughts too much about making the team. So I think they really have some interesting decisions down the line. Again, I think there's some questions about the starters, particularly a corner, how effective they will be. But, there's definitely some roster battles that are going to be fun to watch. And I do think the secondary is going to have a ton of guys that, we'll all be talking about in the coming weeks that, have a real shot to make the roster, even if there are just so many guys that maybe they're going to get beat out just by, pure amount of depth ahead of them.
Back to offense. Anything that stands out in terms of, the formations they're in, the type of plays that they run with Daniels and Mariota? Because this to me is the most intriguing thing is to I can't wait to see what Kingsbury's offense looks like. And I'm wondering if there are any clues.
Yeah. We can't really talk too much about, formations and scheme, which isn't to say that I could give you chapter and verse of exactly what they're going to do, and talking to some people on the sidelines who've played the game, they're still sorting it out as well. There are times where there's, three and four receivers, and there's other times where there's, more tight ends, and it's kind of all over the place. I will say that today, they were doing some low red zone work, and some of the passing plays were pretty creative, where you would get a guy. There was one play where Jamison Crowder found himself wide open in the back of the end zone, another one where Austin Eckler was running, a sort of like a man beater out of the backfield, and it was one of those plays where the quarterback drops back, lets the rush come to him, and then the running back slipped out and he was wide open. So, typically we're always saying the defense is ahead of the offense at this time of year, and maybe that's true broadly, but I thought that the offense had some really good looks in the low red zone today. But beyond that, it's still early in the process. They really are not showing much at all. Look, the reality is we as in the media are not allowed to take videos after a certain point when they start doing it. That rule does not apply to the fans. And if their fans are going to start taking videos, which they do, of 7-on-7, 11-on-11, you don't want, good stuff getting out there. So especially with the fans, I don't think we're going to see a ton that's going to give away the plan. And, hopefully with those, whether it's the joint practices or the preseason games, we'll get a better feel. But, they're doing so many different sets and sessions, and they're really kind of all over the place, whether it's short yardage or whatnot. I will say today, one thing that was noticeable was that they did some legit run plays, where, they had Austin Eckler, I was noticing in particular, where he was running up the middle, and it was really a swarming defense. That's really what they've talked about so much, is everybody running to the ball and getting the ball carry, and that seemed to be the case. I think Eckler's actually looked pretty good as well so far in camp, but they were really seemed today to be focusing on running the ball into traffic. And again, with pads, you want to probably see what the line is doing, but also give the running backs a chance to feel like what it's like to get hit again. They haven't been hit for months. None of them have. None of the players have. So that was something that stood out today.
Talking to Ben Standig, he is out in Ashburn following another training camp practice. Today's practice, the first one in pads. Are you able to say anything about the kickoff returners and punt returners? He talked about it today, but he didn't name any of the players that might be deep, even though he said, we pretty much know where we're going on punt returns.
Yeah, so look, the conventional answer would be to say Jamison Crowder, right? Did it last year.
On punts.
He's a guy on punts, right? He's a solid player, great locker room guy, all that stuff. My only wonder with that is that, with Crowder, there's no upside there, but either as a receiver or as a returner. His numbers ultimately last year were pretty much similar to Dax Milne's from the previous year, and everybody wanted Dax Milne, gone immediately. And as a receiver, I don't know that he's going to get in the lineup. So the question is, does it make sense to keep him as a sixth receiver, or are you better off, going somewhere else? The problem is, where else would you go? The guy who stands out to me is Sanristo. He is, he's a former receiver in college, whenever he gets the ball, he is good. I mean, he's pretty electric when you see him out there. Now, again, I asked Dan Quinn yesterday, are you the type of coach who, you know, older fans of this team will know, you know, Darryl Green, you know, could have been one of the best punt returners ever in the league, but they very rarely used him until they had to a big spot because they didn't want to risk it. So, you know, Quinn, you know, like with a lot of his answers, didn't give a straightforward one about are you willing to use starters in that kind of a role. Sounds like he's open to it, depending on the circumstance. But, you know, I think Sandersville, if it's not going to be Crowder, Sandersville feels to me like he would be my guy. I mean, I don't see Emmanuel Forbes doing it, even though he's been getting punts. I don't see Jahan Dotson doing it, even though he's been practicing as well, and some other guys. So I think Sandersville is somebody to keep an eye on, just as a way, you know, as a weapon to try to get the ball in his hands here, there, and everywhere. On kick returns, they are still, you know, sorting out how are they going to handle the new rules. What makes sense for them? You know, how do they think they can beat what they perceive is going to be the way the teams are going to handle that? And, you know, we've talked about this before here, but like the running backs, this feels like more of a running back role now than say, you know, up until last year, where it could be a smaller, squirtier type of player who can, you know, get a full head of steam and break through. Here, you're going to be a lot more traffic, so the running backs, I think, make more sense. And Eckler, he's been back there. I still have a hard time believing that they would go with him or Brian Robinson, but, you know, this is maybe it is a way to get Eckler the ball more, and if Robinson is going to be the pure lead. I still have been surprised. We have not seen Chris Rodriguez back there at all. I probably made him my favorite
right.
to be that guy for the reasons I just said about, you know, he's got that sort of Brian Mitchell body. You know, he's got, I'm not comparing him to the greatest returner ever, but I just mean, you know, he's got sort of a squat body, but he's got some good speed, but he's been, you know, kind of quiet in camp and they have not used him. So, again, still a work in progress, but yeah, Sandersville is somewhere I think has a good chance to be involved in the returning game, unless they're just like, hey, we can't risk him because we see him having a bigger role in the secondary.
All right, this is an excellent summary that you're providing for us about the last several days in specific areas. In particular, I'll end with this one: does the kicker Ahmed have a chance to be the kicker? Like, how has he looked? I know nothing about him.
You know, he had the first couple days, you know, he's made some from distance, but he also had some misses, had a couple doinks off the goalpost. I'd be stunned, I guess, just if he's the guy, which, you know, again, we have to see what else is out there. You know, I asked Quinn the other day, you know, look, it's a little surprising you didn't bring in any other kind of competition now, but okay, I think part of it is, you know, how much of it is you're waiting to see what happens in these other camps where some teams have two or three kickers, you know, including some familiar names, you know, right? Joey Sly in New England is one we've mentioned before. He's one of multiple kickers up there. So if they're going to play the waiting game there, they're going to have to wait for a few more weeks. I think the wonder is, will they bring anybody else in before the first preseason game? Because that is a scenario where the kicker will really, you know, it's going to be a pretty real scenario of whether it's the kickoffs themselves or actually making the field goal. So I don't think he's doing anything that suggests he's the guy. Maybe he's part of a competition ultimately, but I would imagine they eventually bring in somebody else, if not to compete, either to compete or more likely to sort of be the guy, especially if it's a veteran of sort of that Joey Sly kind of a level. But again, the kickoff rules themselves change the dynamic a bit. It isn't just saying, hey, this guy's got a strong leg. Well, you also have to be able to get the ball, you know,
right,
depending on how they want to do it. You have to get the ball in, you know, between the 20 and the goal line, yada, yada, yada. So that's a whole other aspect of this. But yeah, I would imagine he won't be the kicker. Week one would be my guess.
All right. Great job. Appreciate it.
Always, man. I'm going to go find the air conditioning. See ya.
Go do that. Ben Standing, everybody, live from the park following training camp practice today, a practice in the pads at Ben Standing on X. A former NFL GM thinks Washington could be one of the surprises of the upcoming season. More on that next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.